Well, here this morning, as we continue in the preaching through Colossians, we come to Colossians here, chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Due to the nature of this Sunday with our annual meeting to follow, we will not be able to cover all the ground of this passage, but we'll begin a portion of it here this morning. Conspiracy theories. What is your reaction to the phrase conspiracy theories? Whether we scoff or maybe our ears perk up, we are all familiar with conspiracy theories. For most of us, our suspicion that everyone was always telling you the truth, it began young. I'm not so sure that is the case. Maybe it was an older sibling always trying to get you with tall tales. Maybe, such as in my situation, you had a jokester for an uncle who loved to have a joke your way. But we learned early on that not everything you hear is the truth. In fact, we might doubt the sanity of people who believe that everything they hear is the truth. We might, you know, brother, sister, I need to help you with something. So I don't have a raised eyebrow for folks who buy into certain conspiracy theories. I do have a raised eyebrow who believes everything their government tells them is the truth. I'm not so sure about that. Well, I've got bad news for you, if that's you. There are also some specific conspiracy theories. One, Bigfoot or the Yeti, okay? The Bigfoot. I know one friend of my boys there from school, man, he loves Bigfoot. He's got posters and signs and everything all over that. But the conspiracy theory of Bigfoot sightings. Here's another one. Maybe you've heard of this one. The 1969 moon landing was an elaborate hoax by a movie producer, okay? Or maybe the conspiracy theory that there was once a UFO crash in Roswell, New Mexico, and the government is hiding that. I don't know if you saw this recently. Mexico unveiled that they had the mummified remains of one of these extraterrestrials. But it turns out, if you saw the video, it was cake, which maybe is suspected. Another one that popped up that has been pretty popular is the phrase, the hashtag, maybe even the bumper sticker you've seen, birds aren't real. Interesting note about this one, birds aren't real. That was started as satire of conspiracy theories. And they ran that gag for 4 or 5 years. Website, pushing it, everything, that they totally believed it. They didn't. It was simply a satire of the power of conspiracy theories. And then finally, there's the one of the flat earth. So of all the spherical bodies in our own system, our galaxy, the universe, we are living on the only flat one, so that belief would say. If people who do kind of hold to a flat earth position, you'll find this interesting. This is a kind of related, but you'll find this interesting. In our hymnals that we have, if there was, in the years where that was produced, they were really worried about copyright infringement when those hymnals were made. So they put their watermark, it's on page 100 of our hymnals. So if you get a hymnal and you hold up page 100 up to the light, you'll see a watermark and it says the word gullible. So if flat earth is your thing, that might be for you too. In all seriousness, when writing to the Colossians, that I think I just created a conspiracy theory right there myself. When writing to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul wasn't worried about conspiracy theories amongst the masses. And some of those proved true at times. He was concerned about something far more serious. Paul was concerned about these new followers of Christ in Colossae and also Laodicea. He was concerned about them that they would be fooled into believing theories about life, eternal life, about salvation from false teachers. And so Paul writes to protect them from being taken captive by lies. He wants them to know the truth. And as we've been learning since Colossians 1, verse 1, the truth is wrapped up in a person. The truth is founded in and discovered in and known in Christ. Christ Jesus, the Lord. Christ is all sufficient. He is sufficient for truth, for life, for our redemption, and for our eternity. Our text this morning is Colossians 2, verses 8 through 15. Again, we'll cover this across this Sunday and, Lord willing, next Sunday. This passage warns us of all philosophy which reduces what is the all-supreme and all-sufficient Christ, what he has done for our salvation. Christian, Christ is all-sufficient for you. Christ, he is all-sufficient for you. How do we begin to learn this truth from these verses? Well, we begin in verse 8, guard your freedom in Christ. Verse 8, first point, guard your freedom in Christ. Verse 8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive, the ESV says. I know some may have the New Living Translation with you. It's a bit more emphatic. It says, don't let anyone capture you. The phrase takes you captive, it means to kidnap. It means to carry off as spoil from a war. This is warfare language, right? This is spiritual warfare language the Apostle Paul is using. There are spiritual forces in the world pursuing the destruction of the gospel message, the destruction of God's truth, and the destruction of the people of God's faith, if possible, in him. So verse 8, do not be captured by them. So how do we identify these dangers? We need to guard our freedom in Christ. See to it that no one takes you captive. Well, these dangers, how do we identify these dangers? What's the police sketch, so to speak, of these dangers that seek to capture Christians? Verse 8 lays out the description for us. First description, empty and deceitful philosophy. Empty and deceitful philosophy. The late Christian apologist and philosopher Norman Geisler, he defined philosophy like this. Philosophy is, then, the critical analysis of fundamental concepts of human inquiry, the normative discussion of how human thought and action ought to function, as well as the description of the nature of reality. Philosophy is critical, careful thinking. It's thinking about what is real, and it's thinking about what is true. Simple as that. Just as we all are theologians, we all have beliefs about God and his word. We all have conclusions about God and his word. We are all theologians. It's just a question, are we good theologians or not? So we are all philosophers. It's just a question of, are we philosophers unto Christ or not? But notice the problem as it begins in verse 8. It's not philosophy itself. The problem is a kind of philosophy. And Paul describes this troubling philosophy as empty and as deceitful. Empty and deceitful. So this is philosophy that at best gets God wrong, and at worst purposely abandons God altogether. This philosophy is empty. It's devoid of significance. It's deceitful. It purposely leads people to believe what is false. It can even be religious philosophy, including even the Pharisees and the Sadducees there in the New Testament time, can even include them. For the Colossians, this was a philosophy that believed all matter was bad and all that was spiritual was good. It was a philosophy that believed God was achievable through human ability and human ends, usually through secret knowledge. It sounded really, really good. It sounded wise. It sounded even spiritual. But it was empty. It was deceitful. It was leading the Colossians to believe what was false. Today, we are surrounded with empty and deceitful philosophy that the whole world began by chance billions of years ago, that human beings are simply advanced animals, that life is about fulfilling your pleasure as much as you possibly can, or a philosophy that says you must affirm everyone and everything they believe in order to be a morally good person. These are philosophies that are empty. These are philosophies that are deceitful. This empty and deceitful philosophy for the Colossians was harming them. They were told to reject this, and so we are called to do the same. Philosophy that gets God wrong, philosophy that by accident or purpose leaves God out, empty, deceitful, to be rejected, to be guarded against. So that's the first of the police sketch of these dangers threatening the Colossian believers that they must not be taken captive with. Empty and deceitful philosophy. There's a second description in verse 8, and that description is human tradition. Human tradition. Paul says here that the empty and deceitful knowledge was according to human tradition. So this was passed down from earlier generations. There was a track record of belief, we could say. But lest we worship the past, just because a belief has been around a while, that doesn't make it true. So consider this with me. We are a Baptist church. We're thankful to be a Baptist church, not in a sense of superiority to others, but in the uniqueness of how we understand certain particular doctrines and Bible teaching. So we find a home, an understanding, such as baptism by immersion, and so we are Baptists. And as Baptists, we have a rich theological tradition and history. Back to the Puritans and the earliest Congregationalists, we have a rich history. And frankly, much of that history has been lost over the last 50, 60, 70 years among normative common Baptist churches. Baptists today are sometimes known more for cantankerous business meetings. And yes, that is a little plug, hopefully, that we do not have a cantankerous business meeting today. Sometimes Baptist churches are noted for death by committees, literally everywhere. We have to have a committee for committees to decide how many committees we have and then to rule over those committees. Or maybe sometimes Baptist churches are noted for a lack of understanding on the biblical roles of pastors, elders, and deacons. And we can't leave this out. Baptists can be known for potlucks. Now, all that we say amen to. Praise the Lord for fellowship around delicious food together. In our day, we must recover our deep theological tradition that is ours as Baptists. It matters. Why are we Baptists? That matters. And we need to recover that. We do not live by the rule of precedence. We do not worship tradition. Tradition can be a blessing. Tradition can be a guide, a careful guide, a wise teacher. But tradition can also be a noose. And while these false teachers in Colossae, they could claim some human tradition behind them, that same tradition source was not God, was not God's truth. It was, even as we're going to see, the devil himself. You could survey every major city and every small town. So there's all kinds of ministry discussions all the time, and most of them have great value. The differences of ministry, of what church life looks like, say if we were in downtown Chicago, or if we were in a rolling, exploding suburb or exurb sometimes, we were living in such a place like that. Or town and country rural settings like we find ourselves. You could go to any of those kind of settings, and you could just survey people of how they understand religion, how they understand Christianity, eternal life, whatever they're going to define that, and you're going to find the same general belief. Eternal life, however that's defined, is earned through good religious works. You're going to find a theme, you know, don't do too much bad, be sure to do the good, however bad and good is defined, and if there is an afterlife, you just might have a good one, you just might be part of that if you do well enough. We could fill this room with books teaching that belief. There's no question of human tradition behind the belief, hey, do enough good, don't do too much bad, the good outweighs the bad, and hey, you're going to be in. You're going to be just fine. But that is a human tradition straight from the lies in Satan in Genesis 3, right? The empty, deceitful philosophy being peddled in Colossae, it was according to human tradition. It was lies. The Colossians were to be on guard to reject it. And so we must be on guard to reject that danger as well. A third marker of the danger that the Colossians are warned, do not be caught captive by this. Do not be captured by this. A third marker is elemental spirits of the world. Verse 8 again says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. The third description in Colossians 2:8, these elemental spirits of the world. What is this talking about? We can work through real slowly all the possible views and all the possible understandings. Most likely, most clearly, this is referring to spiritual forces, spiritual entities, the fallen angels that fell with Satan, demons. Paul is talking about demons. Commentator David Powell, he explains in this way. In the first century AD, the term here was indeed used of personalized spiritual forces. They have significant influence over the affairs of day-to-day existence. With so many references to angelic power in Colossians, Colossians 1 verse 13, chapter 1 verse 16, chapter 2 verse 10, then verse 15, then verse 18. Plus is the language Paul is using. He is talking about these spiritual forces and dangers. It seems most likely, most probable, that he is referring to Satan and the demons who fell with him here. Pentecostalism and charismaticism has pushed this point too far. And it might be an idea that you have heard as well. So kind of a teaching that espouses that there's a demon behind every type of sin. There's a demon behind every potential danger. So they would teach there's a demon of alcohol addiction, or there is a demon of pornography, or there's the demon of cocoa melon. Now that one might be true. Okay, just kidding. There simply is not sufficient scriptural evidence to support the claim, though, in the Bible that behind addictions or sinful habits or dangers of this world, that there's always a demon behind it, an explicit demon. But friends, there absolutely is Bible to recognize that the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking for the destruction of families, Christians, the church's witness. And of the three sources of sin and temptation, there's the world, 1 John 2, 15 and 17. There's the temptation of sin of our own flesh, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And there is Satan, James 4, verse 7. The devil is certainly one of those sources. Therefore, see the primary point that I believe the apostle is making here. The empty, deceitful philosophies of this world. So we're thinking through questions. Why do we exist? What is the purpose of life? What is truth? What is morality? What is good? What is evil? How do we understand all those things? Those empty and deceitful philosophies of the world are all satanic driven. So what's the driving force behind believing that all white people are oppressors and all non-white people are oppressed? What is the driving force that says gender is a social construct? You can name and claim your own gender whatever you want to be. What is the driving force that says human government is your hero? Just make government bigger and bigger and the masses will be socially saved. It's all the devil. All empty philosophies of this world that promote goodness and promote greatness, and this is the solution to the woes of mankind, that takes Christ and cuts off Christ and throws him to the side, is all empty, deceitful, according to human tradition, according to elemental principles of this world, philosophy. Church, do not be caught captive by lies of what reality and truth and God. The Colossians were exhorted to not be taken captive. The scriptures exhort us as well. Do not be taken captive by these lies. The fourth description for these dangers and where we conclude this morning, the verse concludes by saying, and not according to Christ. It captures them all. It's the final brushstroke on that sketch, not according to Christ. You see, this is at the heart of these false teachers in Colossae. As we've talked about the false teachers, it's clear from this letter to the Colossians that false teachers were plaguing. There are some different ideas amongst faithful Bible scholars of what exactly this false belief was. We know some factors, some details about it, like we're thinking about this morning. But whatever it was, at the heart, at the center of the error, the false teaching, whatever they wanted it, this was true. It was not according to Christ. I love when the Bible is crystal clear. Do you? If philosophy that is not according to Christ is empty and deceitful, then what kind of philosophy is full and is truthful? Philosophy that is according to Christ. So therefore, what is the starting point for understanding human existence? Christ. What is the starting point to understanding and evaluating truth? It's Christ. What is the starting point for considering and discerning purpose, value, and meaning? It's Christ. And the shorthand for this is the gospel, the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection unto our salvation. There were two choices for these Colossian believers who had received the preaching of the gospel. They believed on Christ and the gospel through the preaching of that friend, Epaphras. Two choices for the Colossians. They could hold fast to their freedom secured in Jesus Christ alone. They could find all meaning, all purpose, to use the language of Colossians, their fullness. They could find all of it in Christ. Or they could follow along empty, deceitful philosophy of these false teachers. That's it. And to this, Paul says, do not be made captive to what is false. To all of us today, the scriptures say the same. Fullness of life. All the sufficiency you need, truth, reality, purpose, wisdom, all these and more begin and end with Christ Jesus the Lord. Christian, Christ is sufficient for you. Rather than finding fullness in what is empty and deceives, listen to your Bible where true fullness is found. Just look at the next two verses. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in Him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you, Christian, have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Christ, the fullness of God. Christ, the possessor of all rule, authority, and power, and Christ who fills all who trust in Him. The devil and the world and our own flesh want to believe so much that is empty and deceitful, trying to find fullness in money and financial investing, trying to find fullness in popularity, trying to find fullness in social power and influence, trying to find fullness in our own illusions of righteousness, trying to find fullness in political leverage, trying to find fullness from human leaders, trying to find fullness in our ability, trying to find fullness in our perfectionism, or trying to find fullness in sexual expression, or changing one's gender, trying to find fullness in alcohol, marijuana, and tobacco, or trying to find fullness in Netflix and Disney Plus, trying to find fullness in Facebook friends and Twitter followers and TikTok likes. Trying to find fullness in academic acumen and degrees. trying to find fullness in athletic ability or vocational achievement, trying to find fullness in knowledge, trying to find fullness in holding on to youth, trying to find fullness in dominating others, trying to find fullness in being a better parent than peers, trying to find fullness in being the better first person to be in the know. Brothers and sisters, all those philosophies of life are empty. They are deceitful lies. Why choose them again? Having been saved in Jesus Christ, why return to what is false? Hear these words from the great Bible scholar who is now with the Lord, F.F. Bruce. As Paul goes on to assure them, they had said a long farewell to all such forces when they died with Christ to begin a new life in Him. Formerly, when they were in the flesh, they were unable to throw off the domination of the powers which control the present world order in opposition to God. But now one has come to conquer these powers and liberate human beings from their sway. How foolish then it is for those who enjoyed this liberation to go back and put themselves under the yoke of these discredited tyrants all over again. They have transferred their allegiance to the ruler of a new order who has defeated the hostile powers. Let his will and teaching be their rule of life henceforth. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Christ is all we need. May Christ be your fullness, your peace, your rule for life. Do not be taken captive by anything else. Christian, Christ is all sufficient for you.